Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Now, WGR Sports Radio 550, the official voice of the Buffalo Sabres, presents live coverage of Round 1 of the 2020 NHL Draft, brought to you by New York's Outlet Liquor. When you need to stock up, it's the place to buy a case. By Figo Carr and Joyce, your border attorneys. And by BlackRock Bright and Eggert Pharmacies, your health is our number one priority. Now, here are your hosts, Brian Cozio, Pat Malacaro, and Brayton Wilson.
Hour number three of the 2020 NHL Draft rolling on here on WGR Sports Radio 550. The Chicago Blackhawks at number 17, just making their selection. Left winger Lucas Reichel out of Germany. And that puts New Jersey back on the clock at number 18 for their second selection of this night. Of course, the Sabres back at pick 8, selecting Jack Quinn, the right winger from the Ottawa 67s out of the Ontario Hockey League. And we expect to hear from Quinn in less than 10 minutes or so from what we're hearing from the Sabres. So we'll be carrying his Zoom call live right here on our coverage on WGR Sports Radio 550. We appreciate you being with us. Again, if you want to jump in on the pick of Quinn or anything on the current state of the Sabres that we've been talking about, feel free. Local number here in the Buffalo area, 803-0550, 803-0550. Toll free, no matter where you're listening tonight, it's 1-888-550-2550. That's the number to join us here. Don't forget, you can follow along. Our draft tracker, WGR550.com, is there. Brayton's keeping track of all the picks. He'll be chiming in with his draft board and what he thinks of the prospects going down. And, of course, all the picks on our Twitter handle as well, at WGR550. So we're going to hear from Quinn here in just a few minutes. So I know a lot of you wondering, like, it's kind of what kind of player he is, maybe his future plans for next year, all that I'm sure will be a part of the Zoom call that we'll have for you live here in just a few moments on our coverage on WGR. Pat, let's go back to, we were talking about the Leafs, all the big players, the big four of contracts, putting Toronto kind of in a handcuff model there. But Chicago made it work for enough to win some cups out of it, with Kane, Taves making a ton of money. And then some other players making some money that they sprinkled in and kind of traded in, traded out, recycled in, recycled out with young guys in between.
Well, that's the thing. And don't forget, Keith and Seabrook, the top defensemen on that team, helped lean them to the cups. They weren't making small contracts either. So you really had four big contracts right at the top. But it was the drafting that Chicago did, bringing in someone like Nicholas Hjalmarsson, who eventually you flipped to the Coyotes. Or, you know, offensive-wise, some of the players that they brought up and drafted, Saad, and then it was the signing of Artemi Panarin as a free agent and eventually being a part of their team and then flipping back and getting Saad back and, you know, all those draft picks and being able to have players that you're willing to part with because you have that depth there to keep bringing players in. Now, sure, it caught up to Chicago, you know, a team that after being the top team in the West flunked out of the playoffs right away and has had troubles getting back in the playoffs. Did beat Edmonton in that play-in round of the postseason tournament this year. But yeah, you look at a team like that, they've drafted pretty well, and you would think that for a team like that, it's kind of going to go up on the backswing, back on the upswing again. And a team you always want to win three Stanley Cups. You want to be one of those teams, but just being able to bring in that talent consistently is what you want to strive to be.
Chicago beat Edmonton, knocked them out in that qualifying round, and the Oilers had high aspirations for kind of maybe making a run, and they didn't even get out of that qualifying run. Then Chicago losing to Vegas in that, I guess, official first round of the postseason. New Jersey is up at pick 18. It's their second pick of the night. New Jersey, why are they picking for the second time? This was part of the Taylor Hall trade. This should have been Arizona's selection. Pat, we keep seeing rumors floating by hour on Taylor Hall. Arizona, apparently, maybe now, are they trying to move him again?
Well, yeah, I mean, he was acquired by a GM who's no longer there. So a GM philosophy and what the team wants to do may be a little bit different, you know, now as what it was when acquiring Taylor Hall and going for it this year.
All right, New Jersey is in for pick at 18.
20 NHL draft will be made by New Jersey Devils general manager Tom Fitzgerald.
Thank you. The New Jersey Devils are proud to select from Chicoutimi center Dawson Mercer.
Okay, Dawson Mercer, a center, going to the Devils at pick 18. That puts Calgary on the clock at 19, and then the Devils will be back again at pick number 20. Again, Jack Quinn, the Sabres selection. We're expecting to hear from him within the next few minutes live right here on WGR. Let's grab a call here. Brian in Buffalo is with us here. Let's see if I can get the call to come up here. Brian, go ahead. You're on the air.
Evening, guys.
Good evening.
Just wanted to say that I think this pick was very short-sighted. I know this new staff came on in June, but I really think we missed an opportunity in taking Marco Rossi instead. Quinn has had one good year. His draft minus 1 year was very poor compared to Rossi. This just feels like a short term, whereas we could have had somebody that would have filled this out better in the long term and even just more potential-wise. You look at all the reports that you see on Quinn. He's a hard worker, average skater, one good year. It just doesn't seem like there's a lot of success as a top 10 pick.
All right, Brian, thanks. Yeah, I mean, a lot of the rankings that had Quinn going lower than what he did, so, I mean, I'm not going to argue with that. To sit here and say that it was the wrong pick, I'm not going to say that. I mean, just it's so hard to judge 18-year-olds and 19-year-olds here at this stage of their career. I mean, just look at some of the names that we read off about all these picks that have gone in around pick number 8. Like, it's so hard to know. And, you know, Kevin Adams, we're going to hear from him at some point, too. We'll find out why he decided to go with a guy like Quinn instead of maybe somewhere else, like Rossi was the guy that you mentioned.
That's the interesting thing to me is what was the thought process by Kevin Adams, Jeremiah Crow, the scouting staff that led them to this pick? Because we can sit here and debate names and who it maybe should have been, but I want to hear the reasoning behind it. And as long as you get an answer to that, to me, at least, you know, sitting here on draft night, that's what I'm looking for when you're drafting players for 2-3 years down the road and their potential impact on a roster.
And that's the most difficult thing, too, is that at this moment, it might be easy to argue that you should have taken Rossi over Quinn. And 2 years from now, it might be easy to say that Quinn's better than Rossi. And also 2 years from now, you could say they're both busts or they're both outstanding. Like, that's the thing, is that you just don't know. It's much easier to maybe make, I guess, harder line statements for something like the NFL draft. You're drafting 22-year-olds, 23-year-olds. Here, it's 18-year-olds. I mean, it's a little tougher to do, Pat. And everyone's path to the NHL, unless you're going number one overall, like, it's going to be different for everybody. And even if it does end up in the NHL, there's a lot of guys even at pick 8 that don't make it.
Yeah, and I wouldn't also judge whether or not Jack Quinn is in the NHL and making an immediate impact next season. You can't make that snap judgment. Now, there may have been more players recently that have been top 10, top 15, you know, first-round picks that have made the jump than maybe we're accustomed to seeing. But that doesn't mean when you're drafting a player right now that he automatically has to be on this roster next season, or it's a mistake, or if he's not making an immediate impact on the roster, it's a mistake. Like you said, you know, in terms of the NHL draft, when you're drafting kids that are still teenagers, there's the body has to develop into being able to take a hit in the NHL and being able to play an 82-game season and being able to go through all the rigors of a season in the NHL. So it takes more than just maybe 1 year for a player to really get accustomed to what the NHL and what being an NHL player is.
Thanks for the call, Brian. 803-0550. If you want to join us, 1-888-550-2550 is the number. Again, Sabres top draft pick Jack Quinn, we expect to hear from any moment, his Zoom call with the media. We will take you there for that. In fact, we're getting it very shortly here. Okay, so it is coming up here. Calgary on the clock at the moment. Okay, let's go to the Zoom call here as we hear from the Sabres top draft pick, Jack Quinn.
Back, Lance Lysowski from the Buffalo News. Congratulations. Big night, I'm sure. So based on the humble beginnings of your career, the way it's gone these last 5 years or so, I mean, what was the reaction? What are the emotions you're experiencing tonight? And were you surprised at all that Buffalo was the team that ended up picking you, just based on maybe the frequency and just the quality of the conversations you had with them? Or was this a team that you expected that could be, you know, one of your landing spots, potential landing spots?
Yeah, thank you. Obviously, it was a very exciting night for me and my family. I think it was a long wait and a lot of, you know, years of hard work went into it, not just for me, but my family as well. And for your last question, I think I knew that my meetings were, you know, went well with Buffalo, and we had some great talks, but at the same time, I had, you know, no expectations, or I had no idea where I was going to go. So, you know, I knew that it was a good spot and talks went well, but I was not expecting to go, I don't think, no.
Hi, Jack. Congratulations. This is Bill Happy from the Times Herald. Could you tell us a little bit more about your journey? I guess a few years ago, you were cut from a couple teams. You used to play a couple other sports. Like, what's happened in the last couple of years to make your career take off so quickly, I guess?
Yeah, thanks, Bill. I mean, growing up in minor hockey, I, you know, played all kinds of sports and was a multi-sport athlete kind of, and I didn't really, you know, train for hockey or anything. I just played it. As a result of that, maybe I got cut from the AAA teams. I played AA throughout my minor hockey, and my minor midget year was my first year at AAA, and I worked on my skating a lot that year, and I think that was a big reason my game improved, and I was lucky enough to get drafted to the OHL, and from there, I think, you know, the 3 years from there, my game continuously got better. Started with a year in junior A and then 2 years under Andre and his staff in Ottawa. And I think my game kind of continuously got better. And you know, it was a progression to get where I am today, I guess.
Jack, Paul Hamilton from WGRZ. Congratulations on your selection.
Thank you.
What, you scored 12 goals 1 year, and the next year you score 52 in basically the same amount of games. There's one game difference. What was the biggest difference for you that turned you into the goal scorer you were this past year, maybe compared to the year before? What did you learn about yourself that made you such a better player?
Yeah, it's hard to say just one thing. I think there was a lot of factors that went into it. A great offseason training-wise, and a great skill coach. And I think those things translated through the year. And one big thing Andre was hard on me about, my coach, was getting to the inside of the ice and using my competitiveness kind of in a different mindset to, you know, to get to the middle of the ice and to score goals that way and not sit back and just try to make plays. So I think my mindset switched a lot from 1 year to the next, and that was a big difference.
Hi, Jack. Greg Vorse from Spectrum News here in Buffalo. Congratulations, as we all will say as we get going here. For you, you're a puck driver, if you will, forward winger. If you would, what do you think you bring to this club, and where do you see yourself fitting in on a team that's clearly rebuilding right now?
Yeah, I think my main asset is I'm an offensive player. I'm a goal scorer. I like to shoot the puck, but I also like to kind of, you know, drive the bus offensively and make plays and kind of make it hard on other teams, defensively. But so I think, you know, first and foremost is I'm an offensive player, but I think my defensive game's, you know, pretty well-rounded too, and I can be relied on in all situations. And I think kind of my competitiveness as a player helps me, you know, kill penalties and that kind of thing, and kind of, I guess, be a rounded player, not just an offensive player.
Hi, Jack. Mike Harrington of the Buffalo News here. Congratulations. I'm interested in learning a little bit about the mental gymnastics of all of this for you guys. I mean, your seasons prematurely end. You have no idea really what's going to happen going forward. You didn't get to go through the combine. You didn't get to go through the draft. You had to interview on video calls. I'm sure the teams took that into account, how you reacted to all this. What has this whole situation been like for somebody who ends up in the top 10 of the first round?
Yeah, it's been a lot, I think, would be the right word to describe it. Obviously, it's different than other years, but I wasn't a part of the other years, so I, you know, don't have that to compare it to. But I think it was just kind of being patient for me was the main challenge. It was obviously a long wait for this day to come, and a lot of interviews, a lot of off-season training for the last 6 months, not knowing, you know, what team I was going to end up at. So there's a lot of unknowns. So I think just staying patient for me was the most important thing mentally.
Hey, Jack, Matt Beauvais here with the ABC station in Buffalo. Like everybody else has said, congratulations. You know, as we go through this process and we start to research all the different prospects, the term NHL ready gets thrown around a lot. And I know this isn't necessarily something you can control, but where do you see your game? How far out do you think that is? And if that is still a little bit away, what areas do you think you'd need to work on?
Yeah, I think I can obviously make a lot of improvements in my game, but at the same time, I think I want to prove that I'm ready to play in the NHL next year. And if the team decides that I need one more year in junior, I'll use that to work on my game. And I think the year after that, I'll definitely be ready to play. I think you're on mute, Brian.
Yeah, Duffer, you're good. Just need to unmute.
I'm good.
Go for it.
Jack, Brian Duff from Sabres TV and Sabres.com. The question would be, did you make Marco Rossi this year or did he make you?
I think we both made each other better throughout the year. And I don't know. Yeah, we'll leave it at that. Marco's a super good player. And, you know, I don't think would be the same player if I didn't get to play the last 2 years with him. He pushed me every day and I learned a lot from him. So I'm very grateful I got to be his teammate the last 2 years.
Hi, Jack. Lance Lysowski from the Buffalo News again. Can you maybe provide us with some insight into, you know, these past several months since the season ended? What have you done to make yourself a better player and better prepare yourself for whenever the season starts, wherever you may be playing, you know, in 2020, 2021?
Yeah, great question. It's been a long off season. Like I said, I think, you know, 6 months now at least. And I've, you know, focused a lot of that on the gym, especially early on. My two main things I wanted to work on were my speed and kind of my skating, being more explosive and just being a better skater. I think I can always be a better skater and that will help me be a better goal scorer and stuff if I can, you know, be a little quicker and everything. And just being a little more solid too, like stable on my feet kind of thing. When a big guy tries to knock me off the puck or something, if I can kind of hold him off and make a play. So those are the two big things I kind of had in my mind. So the 6 months in the gym definitely helped that. And just being on the ice, I mean, I just try to work on everything, you know, every one of my skills, try to improve it.
Hi, Jack. John Vogel with The Athletic. Congratulations. One of the first things they mentioned right after you got drafted was the word late birthday. What does that mean to you, and what were the benefits and drawbacks of being a late birthday?
Yeah, well, obviously it gave me another year to kind of improve as a player before I got drafted. So I've been hearing that word kind of a lot in the last few years from, you know, for me personally, the first year, my 16-year-old year, I got sent back to Junior A, and that was the big thing. You know, you have a late birthday, we're going to give you, it's kind of like a free year. You get to play Junior A and, you know, develop there. And so I've been hearing that word a lot too, but I mean, it's not something I focus on. I just think, you know, I've gotten better each and every year as a player, and I want to continue to do that year after year down the road in my career. And I think that's my goal as a player.
Hey, Jack. Brayton Wilson for WGR Sports Radio 550 here in Buffalo. Congratulations and welcome to the Sabres. Just want to ask you, for anyone that hasn't ever seen you play in the OHL or play hockey, how would you describe yourself in your own words as the type of player that you are?
I think I'm an offensive player, shoot first guy. I like to score goals, but I think I'm also just an offensive driver. I like to hold on to the puck, make plays with the puck, make my line mates better. But I can also, you know, be good defensively and kill penalties. And I think I, you know, like to compete all over the ice.
Jean-Francois, you're up. I just need you to unmute.
Yes, Jack, playing with Mark Rossi, of course, we're in Ottawa here. We watched you grow up the last 2 years. Knowing that this year he was a first-round prospect right off the bat, and you kind of climbed your way all year long and just finishing just ahead of him this time in the draft, how do you feel about that? That's a pretty quick rise.
Yeah, I think, like I said earlier on the call, being able to play with Marco all year was great for me. He kind of, you know, set the mark, I guess, of, you know, where a first rounder was, and he pushed me every day. And I think I learned a lot from him, and I kind of, you know, knew I had to, you know, keep getting better to get to his level. And we're obviously drafted very similar, and there's a long way ahead of us. And I think we're both going to keep improving and become, you know, great players down the road the next couple of years.
Hey, Jack, Matt Beauvais again. I'm just curious. I know you're still processing everything. You've only been a Sabre for like an hour and a half now. But once you hear that you're selected by the Buffalo Sabres, what are the first things you think? Like when you hear Buffalo Sabres, what comes to mind for you?
Yeah, I mean, tonight I was just super excited and kind of relieved. And there's a lot of emotions. But when I think of Buffalo, I think like of a great sports town and a great hockey town. So I think I was very excited just because of that. You know, first of all, and also I think it was just a great spot. I think right away I thought, like, I'm very excited to, you know, be able to try to make this team and be a part of it, I guess.
Hey, Jack, Greg Borst again from Spectrum News. Kind of going off of what Matt just asked you, when you talk about Buffalo and you talk about hockey, you can't not talk about Jack Eichel. What do you think it's going to be like getting to get on the ice with someone like him?
Yeah, I'm really excited for that. He's, you know, one of my favorite players. I love the way he does things on the ice. You know, I watch a lot of YouTube about him and stuff just to kind of, you know, try to pick up some things. So I love him as a player, and it's obviously really exciting to, you know, hopefully be future teammates with him down the road and, I guess, short-term get on the ice with him, yeah.
All right, thank you, everybody, for your questions. Thank you, Jack, for your time. We'll be in touch with a time for Kevin later this evening, so we'll talk to you all then.
All right, there is the live comments of the Sabres' top draft pick, Jack Quinn. The line I love the most was, he says, "I like to shoot the puck. I like to score goals. I would consider myself a shoot-first guy." So, good. I want somebody that's not afraid to make a play. Be selfish and go make a play, you know. Nevertheless, whether it happens next year, the year after, well, we'll wait and see. All right, so Pat and I will break down everything that Quinn had to say. We'll also get Brayton's just kind of update on where we are with the draft as we roll on here, as our continuing coverage of the NHL draft is brought to you by New York's Outlet Liquor. When you need to stock up, it's the place to buy a case. By Fiegel, Carr, and Joyce, your border attorneys. And by BlackRock, Brighton, Eggert Pharmacies, your health is our number one priority. Brayton Wilson, Pat Malacaro, John Simon producing, I'm Brian Colziel. More coming up here as our draft coverage of the NHL draft continues right after this.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
It's being open to any and all scenarios. I want to help our team get better. I want to help our team get better right now, but I also won't make a decision or won't recommend to make a decision that is not putting ourselves longer term in a good spot. So that's where the balance is for me. I'm open to the conversations. I've had conversations and we'll see where it goes in the next close to 24 hours, a little more than that now. We'll see what happens. We'll just have to play it by ear.
All right, that was Sabres General Manager Kevin Adams yesterday. Some insight on what he was thinking, and it kind of played out that way. He had some different options, including two teammates from the Ottawa 67s, the OHL team, and they decided to go with forward Jack Quinn. Of course, you just heard that here on WGR. If you're just joining us, you picked a bad time to tune in the sense, I shouldn't say that. Let me rephrase that. You missed some good stuff. Jack Quinn just spoke, and we aired his Zoom call live. We will have that up on our on-demand audio section in just a little bit, so if you missed any of that, you can also go on my Twitter handle at BrianWGR. I put out some of what Quinn said in terms of some of his highlights. As we welcome you back here, Brian Colziel, Pat Mellicaro, Brayton Wilson. And the line I said going to break, Quinn says, I'm a shoot-first guy. I like to score goals, Pat. He said a lot of things. We'll break it down. But that was one that jumps the board off to me. Good. Give me somebody that wants to make a play, that isn't afraid of the pressure moment, that wants to put the puck in the back of the net. We've had too many players on this team for many years that have shied away from that big moment and that big spot. They want to pass the puck off. They want to go into the corner and not go to the net. And it sounds like even from our friend Paul Hamilton, who asked the question, like, what happened? You went from 12 goals to 52. Like, that's an enormous difference here. And he said, going to the middle, going to the center. I want to score there. It sounds like a mentality that is going to work in this day in the NHL.
Yeah, being willing to take the beating and doing what's necessary to get to that spot is such a big part of the equation. And I think it comes with, you know, building his size a little bit, but you have to want to go there in the first place. And I think that's part of the conversation. You're right. You know, how many times have you sat here and in a big situation, the puck gets passed to somebody else and you're left sitting there watching the game thinking, you've got it. You've got a chance. Shoot the puck. Well, you need more players. Again, it goes back to the mentality. Wanting the puck on his stick, wanting the pressure moment, and to be ready for it. And I think that's something that the Sabres definitely have not had enough of. And, you know, for a young player to want that and to be ready for that, I think is, you know, it's definitely saying the right thing.
Yeah, and he talked about how, you know, he answered the question nicely about whether was it Rossi or was it Quinn or was it, you know, vice versa. And he said, no, it was both of us. And I think that's the right answer to hand. But look, he talked about playing multiple sports and that it wasn't just all hockey his whole life. Realized at some point, hey, you know, this is the route you're going to have to take if you want to pursue hockey. Did it. And then said, you know, at some point he got sent back to single A. And, like, it wasn't just I'm the best player, I get everything. Like, you know, I'm not saying, like, in a spoiled way, but just everything works out for you. You're always the best here. No, there was some signs of adversity that he was able to overcome, and I kind of like his approach, that what I heard there.
And how does that feed into, again, the mentality of maybe needing another year in junior hockey. And he was asked the question, you know, what do you see for yourself? Paraphrasing, where do you see yourself next year? When can you contribute in the NHL? And he was very honest and very open about it. And I thought, the entire time you got a lot of good insight into the player that Jack Quinn is and wants to be. And he knows he's going to have to put some work in, and it's probably going to be another year or so before he's ready to contribute in an NHL capacity. But knowing that, and knowing that going back to juniors is a good thing. There are times we've sat here when a player has gone back to juniors and you say he's a tweener, maybe he doesn't want to go back to the junior ranks, and how is that going to affect him going forward? But you don't have to worry about that with a player like Quinn, who is very self-aware, I think, and knows what needs to be done and willing to put the work in to continue to progress.
Yeah, the work that you mentioned there, he said that's his last 6 months in the gym. That's been his focus, to improve his speed and to be solid on the ice, stable on his feet. He's like, I don't want a big guy coming over and knocking me off my feet. So that awareness that he has that is a good thing. These are the areas I need to work on. He's doing something about it. But, man, I mean, it's got to be tough. You think about this crew. Like, they're about to hit maybe the top of the mountain in terms of their dreams coming true. They're about to get drafted, and then, you know, the league gets shut down, and their league obviously doesn't come back in a bubble and play like the NHL did. And just sitting there, there's no scouting combine, workouts, like, you know, chance doing Zoom interviews with these teams, and you're just like, oh, is this...
How many Zoom interviews have you been on, or Zoom conversations, and there's that barrier from screen to screen where you can't get a good feel for somebody? And yeah, I think that does help these players in the long run, in the fact that things have been so different than the past, and the ability to adapt and change and being able to maybe thrive now in this situation.
He also seemed to indicate that it wasn't a conclusion to him that Buffalo was going to take him. Like, he said, yeah, the meetings went well, but I really didn't know where I was going to go. And then at the end, he's like, yeah, it was a surprise. So he wasn't necessarily expecting that the Sabres were going to take him. And, it wasn't like, yeah, I knew it went great. The Sabres told me if I was there, I was their guy. Like, not that the Sabres would have, but sometimes you do hear that sort of message mm-hmm. from the player, and it went that way. So, I mean, anyway. All right, let's get the Flames pick here as the commissioner is announcing a trade. Calgary on the clock. Let's hear what that trade is.
Number 24 and 80 in this year's draft, the 2020 draft. So Calgary trades 22 to Washington for 24 and 80, all in this year's draft. Washington, you're on the clock.
That's interesting. That's the second time now within just a couple of picks. Calgary was on the clock at number 20 or 21. I think it was 20. And they traded down once and then trade down again, or 21, or 19, excuse me, 19, trade down to 22 and trade back again. They're just, Brad Treliving is just acquiring draft picks in this year's draft.
Yeah, so to move down two spots here, ends up picking up a pick in the 80s, as you mentioned, the trade with the Rangers. So who knows? Calgary's a team, Pat. You mentioned a few players that I, when we were talking before we went on air tonight, that there's players there. How many times have we mentioned Winnipeg players with the Sabres linked with trades with Ristolainen or whatever? Well, another team that has players that have been mentioned, Johnny Gaudreau's name, Sean Monahan's name.
Like, for sure.
Those are names that continue to be thrown around in trade circles. At some point, with the Flames' inability to kind of go farther in their progression, whether it's playoffs, postseason, like, they may be apt to maybe want to move one of those two names. And if you're Kevin Adams, like, I guess, what's your opinion on those guys? And just maybe if there's a preference, even if that was something that could come up.
Yeah, and Sean Monahan's a name that I look at and say, if there was the ability to acquire him, that would be a very solid piece that the Sabres could add to the top tier of their forwards. And on a cap hit of over $6 million a year, you know what you're getting in Sean Monahan. Now, maybe him and Johnny Gaudreau, similar players. The offense is what it is in Calgary, I think. They're a team that they are kind of stuck in neutral. They 2 years ago had great success in the regular season and then flame out in the playoffs. This year, a little bit of a step back. Their goaltending situation, that's another team. You know, you've got David Rittich, who's under contract for one more year, but you got a backup goaltending situation where you need some help there because Rittich hasn't really taken over your starting goaltender number one duties. Well, if you can get another defensive piece to add to what is a pretty strong core in Giordano, the captain, or acquiring Noah Hanifin a couple of years ago. They're very high on Rasmus Anderson, signing him to a long-term deal. If you're able to add another piece when you've got players like Travis Hamonic that are free agents now, maybe that's where you can flip your depth a little bit and acquire one of those offensive pieces that has kind of just been there for a while and maybe needs a change because it hasn't taken you to the next level. Are you able to move a defenseman? That's where maybe going into the draft, I thought maybe if you take one of your defensemen and your first-round pick and decide we're going to go for it, that might be a way to go, but obviously it's not how it's fallen so far.
Nice stat here. Got a tweet in saying out of the 52 goals scored this year by Jack Quinn, 34 of those goals were even strength. So it's not just a lot of power play tap-ins. So that's a good sign. 5-on-5, we know, for the Sabres can always get better. All right, the Capitals are closing in on their pick at 22 as we continue our first-round coverage. We're hoping to hear from Kevin Adams at some point, too, here before we close our coverage. We'll take a quick timeout here. Actually, let's get the Capitals pick, and then we'll take our break. Here's Gary Bettman.
The 22nd selection in the 2020 NHL Draft will be made by Washington Capitals Executive Vice President and General Manager Brian McClellan.
With the 22nd pick, the Washington Capitals are proud to select Hendricks Lapierre.
As they say in French. Hendricks Lapierre, the center, going to Washington. The Flyers at pick 23, followed by the Flames, who just moved down to 24, are the next two teams on the clock. We'll continue to monitor the picks. We'll go back to Brayton for his look at kind of some of the names that are still out there that he's interested in. We continue to take your reaction on the Sabre selection of Jack Quinn. If you'd like to join us, it's 803-0550 or 1-888-550-2550. John Simon producing, Brayton Wilson, Pat Malacaro. I'm Brian Colziel. More NHL draft coverage coming up right after this on WGR.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Back here on WGR, pick 23 about to be made by the Philadelphia Flyers, and let's hear what their selection is.
We honor and remember Jack as we select the next class of Flyers prospects. With the 23rd selection, Philadelphia selects from Barry Tyson Forster.
All right, so the Flyers, they're going with Tyson Forster. As we welcome you back here, 9:51 is the time. Brian Colziel, Pat Malacaro, and Brayton Wilson. We'll get Brayton's list of prospects here. Brayton, just to give you a heads up on that in just one moment on who's left. Our coverage on the NHL draft brought to you by New York's only outlet, Liquor. When you need to stock up, it's the place to buy a case. By Fiegelkar and Joyce, your border attorneys, and by BlackRock. Brighton Eggert Pharmacies, your health is our number one priority. So the Flyers at pick 23, taking Tyson Forster, the right winger. And Calgary back on the clock after moving down twice there at 24, Colorado at 25. Okay, Brayton, just thoughts here on these last handful of picks. Any name jump off the board? And What are you still looking for here before the end of round one?
Well, the name that's sliding down the board quite a bit is Connor Zary, the center from the Kamloops Blazers. I am going 14th overall to the Edmonton Oilers, and he is still available for picking by any team here in the first round. He keeps sliding down the board. Some other names that are of note that are available, John Jason Paterka, the German left winger, a very good offensive presence. He's still available. Noel Gunler, who is a Swedish right winger, he's also available. Other notable players available up front includes Maverick Bork from the Shawinigan Cataracts of the QMJHL, Jacob Perreault from the Sarnia Sting. Let's see here. And the defensemen that are still available that I had in my mock draft are Helga Granz and William Wallander. So there's still some good names out there, and a couple of surprising names that went off the board by Columbus, and before that by New Jersey. A couple of guys that weren't necessarily ranked as high as many of the other ones and not anticipated to be taken in the first round. However, New Jersey goes with, I'm going to botch this, I apologize, but defenseman Shakir Mukhamaldulin from Russia. That's the best.
I'm glad you did it, not me. Thank you.
Shakir Mukhamadulin.
Very nice.
Sure. And then and then Columbus goes with Yegor Chinnikov. And again, just guys that weren't seen as first-round picks going that early. And Twitter kind of blew up when both those picks came across as major LOLs in that situation.
Absolutely. Brayton, you were in on the conference call with Jack Quinn. What stood out to you in terms of what he said?
Well, I liked his confidence that he had when, in terms of him wanting to shoot the puck and be a goal scorer and being a driver in the bus for the offense. Just a kid that, 52 goals in his draft year. He's only the fourth OHLer to do that in their draft year since the 2009-10 season. That's really impressive. And he's a first rounder. And based on my quick research, because I was trying to look it up to see who else did it, the only other one that I found, and there's probably others, but the other three, but the one that I found was Alex DeBrincat, who was drafted by Chicago in the second round of 2016. He scored 50 goals in his draft year, and it's a pretty impressive list to join. And 50 goals in the OHL, I get it. The OHL tends to be more of an offensive league. It's not quite as offensive as maybe the Quebec Major Junior League, but still scoring 50 goals in that league is very impressive.
I like what he said, though, about how, like, Paul Hamilton asked him, what was the change? You went from 12 to 52, and he said, going more to the center of the ice mentality on trying to get to the net. I mean, that's something we hear all the time in the NHL about how you score goals now. And let's face it, there's also players that we probably even could go through and say that have been on the Sabres roster over the last decades, guys that maybe don't like to head toward the middle,
Brayton.
So that's a good mentality to hear.
Yeah, and certainly I heard you guys talking a little bit about it before, too, where hearing Jack Quinn say that he wants to shoot the puck, there's not a lot of guys on this team that when they get the puck on their stick, they're willing to shoot the puck. Jeff Skinner's a guy that's been more than willing to shoot the puck more often than not, and other than that, it's been Jack Eichel every once in a while, but he oftentimes wants to pass the puck as well.
That's what I was going to jump in there with. I said, how long have we had to kind of see the progression of even Eichel to get to that mentality? Mm-hmm. It really took to this year.
Yeah.
With him saying, look, I'm dangerous, I'm a threat every time I shoot. If I got it, I'm going to do it. For the first 3-4 years of his career, we've a lot of times had these head-scratching moments in games where we're like, Jack, shoot the puck. Why are you passing it off to Zemgus Girgensons on a 2-on-1? Like,
right.
And to have that mentality coming in, that's a good thing. So to know Brayton, whether he'll be on the team or not, I mean, obviously our guess probably is more of the not side, but he's going to come in with that, I'm going to prove it that I can make it attitude, which is, I guess, all you could ask from him at this point.
Just want to give a quick heads up for tomorrow with Howard and Jeremy. Jack Quinn's going to join Howard and Jeremy tomorrow morning at 9:30.
Beautiful.
So you'll be able to hear from the Sabres' first-round pick, 9:30 with Howard and Jeremy.
Excellent. Thank you, Brayton.
Thank you.
Follow Brayton's draft tracker as well as more of his thoughts, WGR550.com, and he'll have more on that here. Of course, Brayton will be part. Are you part of the show tomorrow, Brayton, as well?
You're
not sure.
Are we actually doing a live show for the draft or
No, tomorrow morning, I'm saying.
Tomorrow morning. Oh.
Tomorrow morning, I meant.
Yeah, I was confused there for a second. Sorry.
I'm saying, are you
It's been a long day for me. Yes. I'm sorry.
No. Are you doing the late night and then early morning turnaround?
Yes.
You'll be a part of it.
Yeah, I am. And I'll also be covering rounds 2 through 7 on our website, WGR550.com, and also on Twitter. So I'll be busy all day tomorrow with that.
Excellent. Flames at 24. Let's see what Calgary is doing.
The 24th selection in the 2020 NHL draft.
Thanks, Gary. I'm proud to introduce to make our 2020 selection former Flames captain, former Flames great, and Hockey Hall of Famer, Lanny McDonald. Lanny?
Thank you, Brad. It's been almost 50 years since my name was called at the NHL draft. It's one of those great memories in a young player's career, and still to this day, it is for me. Now, the draft has certainly changed a lot since my day in 1973. But no matter if it's a phone call, a big stage, or today virtual, it's a special day and an honor to pull on an NHL jersey over your head for the first time. I have the privilege tonight to welcome this young man to the Calgary Flames to carry on our traditions and legacy. I'll ask Flames Director of Amateur Scouting, Todd Button, to bring the jersey forward. Thank you, Todd. And with the 24th selection in the 2020 NHL entry draft, the Calgary Flames select center Connor Zary from the Kamloops Blazers.
All right, so Connor Zary, the center, going to Calgary. Lanny McDonald, one of the best mustaches in NHL history, right?
Oh, yeah. The Flames going back to those uniforms that he would have worn when he captained the Cup team in the late 80s.
I know you're a big fan of them moving back to those jerseys.
Both home and road.
That's right. No more black. And you know the thing I always hate. I hate all the angled triangle things
striping,
that are going on. The
yeah.
striping at the bottom of the jersey. Like, that's my always biggest pet peeve. Just give me the horizontal stripes around the bottom. Nothing else. I don't want angles, triangles, lines, other things. Just stripes around the bottom. And, yeah, the Flames going back to that from when they won the Cup with McDonald.
You got the Flames, you've got the Sabres, and Ottawa going back to what their original uniforms looked like. So a lot of teams, we're getting old. What we grew up as kids is now becoming trendy again and what teams are wearing a lot. And I saw the Coyotes, this is their 25th year. They're going to go back to a lot of their old school looks.
So 20
just
years.
Just go back to the old Kachina look permanently, please.
20 years from now, will they be asking for the Navy to come back for the Sabres?
Please, no.
How many years are we removed from the slug?
The slug? That's never coming.
The goat head?
Ask our friend Sneaky Joe. If it was up to him, that would be the primary
jersey. Oh, I'm sure it would with Joe. I liked it. I just like the royal blue better.
What about the Steve Ott Turgerberger jerseys? Come on, right?
Only if he reveals them again for
that's
us.
That's right. That's right.
And a blurry photo.
That's right. All right. Top of the hour here at 10 o'clock. Colorado, the 25th pick, is up here as we're closing in on the end. 25, we got about 6 to go, and we'll come back here and get you to the end of the draft when we return on our live coverage. Brian Koziel, Pat Mello, Carl Brayton Wilson, John Simon producing as our NHL draft coverage rolls on WGR.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.